Congressman Peter Welch has been a congressman for quite a while now, Democrat at large, in office since 2007. And Peter, what about the Mueller report? We heard all about how it's coming. Now we hear he's going to testify. What can we expect?
Well, first of all, he is going to testify, and I think that's terrific. And he's going to testify before the Judiciary Committee and or also on the Intelligence Committee, of which I'm a member. And frankly, I think the benefit of Mr. Mueller testifying is less to Congress and more to the American people. You know, I've read the Mueller report. It's pretty long, 400 pages. Frankly, pretty shocking. But I don't think most people have. And also, the Mueller report was really distorted when Attorney General Barr sat on it for 3 weeks but put out his four-page summary. And it turned out that that four-page summary was completely misleading. So I think the huge benefit of Mr. Mueller testifying in Congress is there's going to be a real focus on his giving a personal rendition of what's in the Mueller report. And I think much more, many more people will then hear what the report is about as a result of Mueller testifying than were able to see it as a result of reading it. So I think it's going to be real exposure of, I think, the significant efforts on the part of the Trump administration, the president himself, to obstruct the administration of justice.
I think Mueller is worried about his own testimony. In other words, he is a Republican. We know that. He's a fairly conservative guy. He played by the rules during this thing. He clearly said he didn't want to come back to Congress. Now he's coming back to Congress. What does one and one add up to?
No, I don't think he's worried. I think he's, you know, a man with an impeccable reputation. And it's not going to be pleasant for him because I think many of my Republican colleagues are going to try to tear him apart as a partisan. I think that's absurd. And I hope my colleagues on the Democratic side don't try to overdo it and make him say things that we know he won't say. If he just sticks to the report, I mean, this is the thing. When I read it, and you have these 11 separate incidents where there is obstruction suggested, and of course Mr. Mueller said he can't charge it because of the Justice Department policy, and it's debatable whether this makes sense, that you can't indict a sitting president. But as Mueller said, he didn't exonerate a sitting president. When you read that and you see the amount of energy, effort, and activity on the part of Trump and the Trump team to stop that report, it's pretty shocking. And I think that getting out is going to be very, very telling. But I think Mueller, he's a quintessential public servant. It's not about him. He doesn't have any axe to grind. And I think I expect he's going to stick pretty much to what's in the Mueller report. But I think the benefit of that is most people don't know that much what's in it, and they'll get much more of a sense from Mr. Mueller himself describing what he found.
Let me go to another place, and that's the fight against opioids. This country is in real crisis here. I don't think a lot of people understood just how deep a crisis it was. I know from the very beginning you were very concerned about it and were leading the charge. Have we gotten anywhere?
We have, but a long way to go. But, you know, in fact, Vermont led the charge. It was then Governor Shumlin who did the extraordinary thing of dedicating pretty much his entire state of the state address to what he was seeing as an emerging opioid crisis. I think that was 2013. And people were shocked in Washington. They said, well, how could you do that? You're trash-talking your state. But it turned out a few weeks later they'd come up and say, you know, Peter, what the governor described in Vermont, it's worse where I am. And the one area where I've seen an immense amount of bipartisan effort is on opioids. We passed legislation last year, and we'll be doing that again this year to get money back to the local communities and to the states. Because I think really the federal role is to get resources back home, and the hard work is really at home, because dealing with that one person at a time, one addicted person today and one tomorrow, that's the real, real challenge. And as hard as it is, I have to say, I've been pretty inspired by the community response. It's local police who are looking at this as a health crisis, even as they deal with the big dealers. It's the medical personnel who are having they're being responsive. It's the school folks. It's grandparents who have taken on the responsibility of raising grandchildren because their son or daughter is in the grip of addiction. And the enormous amount of mobilization locally from citizens, I think it's really inspiring. But we've got to go after the drug companies. We've got to stay at it and get resources back home. And I think in addition to that, we've got to revitalize rural America. Because I think for many people, that choice to really get hooked on an opioid is an indication of hopelessness and despair.
That's what I was going to ask you next. What leads anybody to take on something which they know is going to end in tragedy?
Exactly. I mean, that just asking the question, you know, a person has to be pretty pretty desperate. They don't have things in their life that make it easy to say no to what ultimately, in the rational moments, they know is a dead-end choice. But, you know, you meet folks, and they've managed to dig their way out of it, and it's pretty inspiring. You know, I was down in Chester, Vermont, a while ago, and I met this man who had been addicted, and he's not now, and he's got a good job, actually started a small business, and he's helping a lot of other people who are still in the grip of opioid addiction. So there's really good stories along the way, along with the tragedy.
Let's talk a little bit about the census. Now, the Supreme Court came out with a couple of decisions. One, which I hated, was the gerrymander decision. And I know that you feel the same way. I mean, it's incredible that that kind of thing goes on. The other, of course, is the census. And the court said, at least for now, you can't ask that question. Describe that question and tell us what you think comes of it.
Well, there's the question is, are you a citizen? And the reason the court said they couldn't ask it is because it was very clear that the intention of the question was not for census purposes. It was for political advantage purposes. We had that Republican operative who died, but his daughter got into his computer, and he's the one who wrote the memo about gerrymandering, and he had a very explicit plan about how this question would reduce turnout and reduce the census count, and it would be immensely to the partisan advantage of Republicans. So even Justice Roberts was too embarrassed to have a blind eye to that and basically said that question can't go in the census, although I think he kept the door open for the administration to come back with some other pretextual excuse, so I'm still worried about it. But second, step back a second. The census is not about political advantage. It's literally about a headcount, about how many people are here and where they live. And if you have a citizenship question, obviously it's going to deter folks who are not documented from just saying they're here. And that's going to have an impact on how much aid goes to your district or mine. And the goal of the census, it's not a legal enforcement issue about immigration. It's really to get as accurate a headcount as you can get. And in putting together the questionnaire for a census, every question that goes in or goes out is something that is deliberated upon really for a couple of years because it really has an impact on the overall outcome of the accuracy. So the fact that the administration at the 11th hour put in this question or wanted to for political reasons is another indication of how the president disregards the importance of our institutions for the purpose for which they're made. And the census is a headcount. It's not a political document. And the administration is trying to make it into a political weapon.
Congressman Peter Welch, we love having you on. You're always a breath of fresh air. It's great to see and hear what's going on in the House of Representatives, and we so appreciate your participation. Again, Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, the only one.
Alan, thank you.